Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in to Kingdom Builders Internet Radio, where we are blessed to be a blessing. I am your host, Sybil Peoples, and we welcome you to our broadcast today. The name of the broadcast is Sowing and Reaping, Spiritual Sowing. I have here Elder Melvin G. Peoples of Mindy God's People. How are you, Elder?
I'm fine, thank you, my dear sister and my precious wife. We thank God for the opportunity and the blessing to be able to share the valuable nuggets that God has placed in our spirit. We just thank God for his mercies and for his grace, for his goodness. And we thank him even for the challenges of the times that we're living in, because we know that he promised us that he would be with us and he would never leave us nor forsake us.
What a powerful factor in our walk with God, that he will never leave us or forsake us. I want to, at the opening of this broadcast today, I want to ask all of my listeners if you would share the information concerning Blog Talk Radio. We'd appreciate it. We are here second and fourth Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. If you know someone, if you are in the process of presenting the Lord to someone and maybe they have questions or interests, direct them. We would love to have them log in, and each week we are going to dig deeper into the Word of God. I first want to start out today with prayer, as it should always be. We are fortunate to be alive and living in a time where we are experiencing many extremes. Either we are experiencing extreme loss. We are experiencing extreme loneliness. Everything that is named in the world is also named amongst believers. So we want to acknowledge that people are really having some experiences they've never had before, and we just want to cover them with prayer and bring them before the Lord. I ask you, Elder, if you wanted to dive into prayer.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for you are a very present help in the times of our needs and the times of our troubles. You, Lord, have declared the ending from the beginning, so nothing that we experience surprises you, Father. And we know that you will give us grace to endure these challenging times in which we live in. We're praying, Lord, for those who have no hope and no confidence in you, that some way, oh God, that they will find the road and the pathway to you, Lord, and to covenant, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would lift up every burdened heart, oh God. We're praying for those who are sick tonight, that you would heal, for you are Jehovah Rophika, the Lord God who healeth us of all of our sicknesses and diseases. And by your stripes are we healed in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to comfort and speak to folks, Father, far, oh God, and those who are near, Lord, that you might build them up and make them know that there is a hope in this world, Father, that you have given all of us, that if we trust in you, Lord, you will take us through. Hallelujah. You will give us what we need, oh God, to be successful in these perilous times. Lord, we bless you right now. Remember those who are sick and shut in. We pray that these words go out tonight and anoint and heal and lift up people, Lord, those who don't know you tonight. Some way, somehow, Lord, bless them to find this broadcast, Lord, that they may hear words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and know and come to the realization of the answer to their question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we just want to thank you tonight for this wonderful opportunity. Bless us and give us what we need to be successful. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful words spoken, because if it ever was a time that we should be saying to one another is the message of hope, having faith in God and really standing on his promises, really like never before. It's often said that in different countries, different cultures experience unexplainable miracles, and the vast miracle working power of God. And it's often referenced that it's because they don't have many options. And sometimes, you know, we have options to borrow the money or ask for someone to donate toward us, but it is circumstances in this world where there's no place to borrow and no circumstances to even ask for donations. And so it is that time here in America in our lives where we need to cry out to God, for he is the only intervention that we have. We have hope in him. And that hope, it's like our fuel to the car. It's like food. It is what sustains us, knowing that no matter what we face, we can rely and turn or cry out to God. I love the scripture. Come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of trouble.
Amen. We're thankful for that, because what God has done in this special and unique season in the world, he has stripped away all of the things that in many places, in many cases, we have trusted in.
Yeah.
We can't, many of us can't trust in our financial security anymore, because for some it has been weathered away because of the circumstances in which we are dealing with. And some, he has allowed them to be challenged in their physical health. And the doctors have said, I can't help you, amen. But what we do know, that God is a healer. We know that he is a waymaker. He is a provider. He is a very present help in the time of our needs or troubles. And so what he's doing is, and it may seem like a great chastening. For some, it may seem like, where is God in this picture? God doesn't love us. Does he care about us? And the enemy wants to pollute our minds and make us believe that God doesn't care about us and that he's turned his back on us. But he's trying to get our attention as a people, as a nation, and as a world, because his will is that none should perish. Amen. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? What does it profit a man, amen, to give his soul in exchange for the things of this world? Amen. And so what God is trying to make us to realize is that there are things that transcend this world that are greater than the things that we have focused on, the things that we have latched upon. And he just basically, in a loving way, trying to get us to understand that we really need him.
Amen, amen. The things that transcend this world, that is, oh my God, that just ministers to me, because as we discuss, or as we, before we had prayer, to pray for the physical body, in this time, it is an element that far exceeds the physical, and that is the mental.
Amen.
And the loneliness and the grieving and the hopelessness, all of these things that affect us mentally, the fallout can be physical, but that mental part of us, it is so, how shall I say it? It is so hungry for the spiritual God that we are in relationship with. It is to go without saying again that everything that affects the world could affect us as believers. So even as believers, we have attacks of fear. We have attacks of mental instability. We are not excluded from the troubles of this world. But as a believer, we can hold so fast to our anchor that even though we are experiencing the attack, even though the reality or the circumstances or even the medication may be our reality, the bigger picture is we win, because we have that anchor. We have that hope as we go through.
Amen. You know, as you were speaking, one word that you said really, really magnified itself as you were speaking, and that is the word loneliness. God has allowed many of us to feel lonely in these times. Amen. He's allowed us to feel separated and isolated, whereas in times past we have occupied our space with our friends and family members in a very, very close competitive way of sharing and going back and forth with one another. But what he has done is he has moved away all of the things that, for some of us, and I use this word with great reverence, he has removed many crutches from our lives. He has allowed us to be isolated to the point where he has given us his value system. Amen. As the scripture said, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And many of us have been, carried away with the things that pertain to our purpose. But it's important that we realize that God loves us and he's in the details.
Yes, he is. And I want to go a little further on that loneliness. I think I'm going to reference, I believe this quote was from Bishop Noel Jones, and he talked about being surrounded by people and yet feeling lonely.
Amen.
So even though we're in a season of quarantine and social distancing and whatever circumstances that has the details of you pulling apart from people, taking time alone, it is more than just the physical social distancing.
Amen.
As it says, as sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God's will and purpose in our lives is for us to be the salt of the earth. It is his will that the world would look upon us and see the light of hope in Jesus through us. And it is what I understand about God, times and seasons where he will cause you to be separated while you're among people.
Amen.
There are times when he will separate you. He will give you thoughts and visions and understandings to where no one else can connect with you. And he designed it that way so that he could impart and download what he wants in you without any interruption or distraction.
Amen. That's a powerful truth that you have, Sister Sybil. And it transcends, as you were speaking, it transcends the natural tendencies to isolate. I'm a very, very cluster type person.
Yes, you are.
I keep to myself. I'm very, very personable. I'm charming when I need to be. I'm able to manage people in large settings, but I'm a very private person. But this season that God is doing this great wonder in the lives of his brothers and our brothers and sisters in Christ is very, very spiritually unique in this sense that God is trying to download some things into our spirit and give us a deeper revelation and deep understanding of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us are so occupied with our activities of daily life. We are busy people at our businesses or in family matters or just things in general.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I need you. And that's what this, and let me say this, that's what pandemic is really happening. That's what it's really about. Amen. It has caused people to see things with a new clarity, to be able to look at things with a new spiritual revelation and to understand what the real depth and purpose of God's purpose is. He has invested in us the Holy Spirit. We are unique people, those of us who are born again and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We have something to offer the world. Amen. We may not be a Greek or Hebrew scholar able to speak, amen, from Genesis to Revelation, but when we speak anointed of God to very details in the things of our heart to other people, we have a tendency to encourage them and build them up and give them hope in this world.
Yeah. Yes, totally. We can talk about witnessing, and the broadcast never ends. And we call this show Sowing and Reaping.
Amen.
Spiritual sowing. And I like what you just touched on, that that we should not be so focused on self-examination, but understanding that when we receive salvation, there's an investment placed in us.
Amen.
We are of great value. We could talk all day about the love of God, but we are of great value to God. He has sown his own spirit to dwell in us, and thereby we are powerful.
Amen.
And this sowing and reaping the intent of the broadcast is to introduce a new idea or a different idea concerning spiritual sowing.
Amen.
And that matter that we so often think sowing and reaping, we think in terms of financial.
Amen.
But it is applicable in our entire relationship with God.
Amen.
That we dig deeper and have a conversation about the difference between spiritual or fleshly.
Amen. You know, I think that as believers in Christ, unfortunately, especially in the, if you look at the historical layout of the Church of Jesus Christ, most historians would say that we live in the Laodicean era.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, of the church. And unfortunately, Laodicea was it was considered a lukewarm era, and the atmosphere was more geared toward the quest for prosperity, and nothing wrong with prosperity. God does prosper us and bless us. But it was carried away with the idea of consumption and gain.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've lose focus upon the fact that we were equipped, and we were given that which God has given us in a spiritual sense to make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, we emphasize monies and wealth and prosperity in so many places that we forget that we have been especially equipped to have a word, amen, for the world. We have a word, even if we're not a biblical scholar, even if we're not someone that understands Genesis to Revelation. You know, sometimes people, if you talk to some believers, and I've talked to them over the years, they would say, well, I can't witness because I don't know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You tell people what you know of the Lord. You tell them what your experience has been. You talk about your transition. You don't have to quote scriptures because you are a living word.
Yeah.
Amen. You have something that by the Holy Spirit speaks directly to their heart. And I think that many times in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters have been run off from their testimony because they don't feel like they are articulate.
Yeah, I struggle with that one, being articulate. It has a tendency to sit on you or hinder you, even in some cases gag you. They call it a gag order, right? When they stifle your ability to express yourself. The matter of sowing, I was thinking, you know, in that newness or that idea that I'm going to move away from defining sowing and reaping out of financial, and I'm going to take my thoughts toward, I believe that when we meditate on God, we're sowing.
Amen.
That spiritual sowing.
Amen.
I believe that when we take our attention and we pursue conversation with God through prayer, that is sowing.
Amen.
I believe that when we have an opportunity, you know, I like TV shows to put a little angel on one shoulder, a little demon on the other shoulder. It's such a visual for me. But in our walk, we have great temptations to not walk so righteously.
Amen.
In all sorts of areas, whether it's integrity or honesty or just taking advantage or even theft. All of those things, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, when we choose the path of righteous living, that is spiritual sowing.
Amen. And that's the beauty of walking with God, because we have been invested with a great power.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is that it's in agreement with who we are as people. The Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. There's no one in the body of Christ as unique as I am.
Okay.
Amen. And there's no one in the body of Christ who is as unique as you are. Amen. No one has an experience like with God like you do. You're able to tell your story in a way that is going to touch someone. And that was the beauty of even of the apostles. Those men were so vastly different in so many ways. But yet, each one of them, by their spirit, and the beauty of it is that the Bible says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. In other words, who I am as an individual, my uniqueness, my character, my personality, God comes in and enmeshes himself with who I am, and I become a walking, living representation of Christ in his agreement with my spirit, bearing witness with my spirit, and no one can be as unique as I am, and no one can be as unique as you are.
Niall, the people, you know, I'm right on the same page with you. I get what you're saying, but I also understand for some people, it's a bit lofty. It's kind of hard to embrace and digest. I have been a church member the majority of my adult life, and the teachings or the popular belief system in that goal to unify a lot of different personality types, to create the unity, we must walk alike and look alike and be in agreement. So when you talk about this uniqueness and this individual, everybody possesses power, it conflicts with it. So,
well, you know, God didn't design us to be spiritual clones.
Okay.
And the beauty of this is, and he says it in the scriptures, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. My spirit is unique in design compared to no other person in the world, and so is you and all the other people in the world. Amen. Even when you have perfect twins, they're not exactly the same because they are a different soul. Amen. And so it's important that we understand that the uniqueness of who we are, because can't nobody do it like you can. No one can represent Christ the way that you can. No one can represent Christ the way that I can. And how many other millions or billions of believers there are in the world, no one can represent Christ the way that they do, because it is a uniqueness of coming together in personality, in character, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In a unity that is matched by no other place and no other person.
I do understand that, and I also understand that our uniqueness, we have assignments.
Amen.
And that assignment personalized for our walk, personalized for our growth.
Amen.
Our personal relationship with God, it's so mind-blowing that time and space and details are all orchestrated, and the billions of people that have walked the earth, God got all the details.
Amen. and you know, and I think that we sometimes lose that, because unfortunately, in many times in our spiritual gathering places, We seek, and I say this with great respect and reverence for all of us that are in ministry, because it is a challenge to be in ministry and to do the work of the Lord. But sometimes we expect clones, and we want to produce spiritual clones.
Oh, well, let me pause you. We not only want to, from a collective body, we not only want to create the clones. We have image that we should be the clone. That self-examination, or as the scriptures say, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, me looking at you and saying, I don't pray like him, or I don't preach like him, I don't show patience like him, that can be a big problem. The ministry itself, following the pattern of creating clones, And then those who have bought that erroneous message and adhering to that's what they should be.
Yes. And you know, I feel like I should just shout and stop talking right now. Because the beauty of this is that God comes into our lives and he enmeshes himself with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, into who we are. And as I said before, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And what he does is he doesn't take our personality out. He comes in. That is the ultimate, in my mind, that is the ultimate act of God's grace and his mercy. And even, and I use this word reverently when I even speak of God, the humility of God. Amen. The humility of God that he would condescend to some extent to the level of who we are, meet us on our ground and become one with us who were a fallen, sinful, Adamic creature, alienated from God, had no right to it, but yet he's willing to become that for us that he might bring us as one into him. And nothing's greater than that, as far as I'm concerned.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I do want to take a pause, though. I got a little information for my listeners that they can make donations to Kingdom Builders Daughters International. They can do that either by internet, telephone, and the phone number is 313-583-9739, or if you choose, you can mail Kingdom Builders at 19785 West 12 Mile Road, Southfield, Michigan, 48076, Suite 309. And we also would be very thankful for all donations. You can easily go to Giveify.com, that's GIVELIFY.com. Look up Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders, and the way you do that is you download the app or you can email Kingdom Builders International at Gmail. You can also make a donation through PayPal. And back to what we were talking about, Elder, sowing and reaping, spiritual sowing. I touched on the diverse ways we can approach and embrace sowing, not taking anything for granted. I mean, we're serving an almighty God greater than we can take our little brains and wrap our mind around. But as we explore spiritual sowing and its diversity, I want to touch on a little bit of past belief systems. I think about thinking I'm either in the flesh or I'm in the spirit. And if I'm in the spirit, I'm praying for the lady in the grocery store who's being very rude to me. If I'm in the flesh, I'm really, really ready to get her told. And that was the extent, either two extremes, the emotion of I got great passion, I know God is using me, and then the emotion of I was about to snatch this here right now, you better back up. So I want to go down that thought or explore that thought. And is it that extreme, or is it somewhere in the middle?
Well, you know what, Sister Silver, I think that it's the middle, the ends, and everything in between. Amen. Because I don't think that there's a practical possibility that anything that we do or we lend ourselves to do or anything that we say is not a byproduct of our human spirit.
Okay.
So, you know, whether it's positive behavior, whether it's negative behavior, whether it's something very, very extreme, it's a byproduct of our spirit. It could be a byproduct of our spirit as we yield to God in positive ways. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then it's a byproduct of our spirit when we do not yield to God. And that is, of course, in the negative extremes. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so as believers in Christ, if nothing else, I think that it's wise of us to always realize that we are on, we have to be on our P's and Q's, so to speak, spiritually.
Yeah.
It's important because whatever we produce and whatever we send out is a byproduct of our spirit. Amen. Our character. It may be a time when we're not at our best and we may not give the best human representation. We may be angry at people. I mean, you know, it happens. Believers sometimes don't want to believe that they go to those extremes. But you don't have to walk with God a long time to realize that whoever you are, whether your name was Adam or whether your name was John Doe, the old man is definitely there to challenge us, amen, in our journey.
So am I to understand you correctly? In other words, and tell me if I'm wrong, in other words, that case scenario I presented, whether I'm conscientious enough to pray for the store clerk, or I want to grab her by the collar, in both scenarios, I'm being spiritual.
Yes.
Because, and tell me if I'm wrong, because you're saying that when I am walking after that Adam nature, it's a lesson learned.
Amen.
You're saying that it's in me, it comes out, and that's where I need to recognize this is an opportunity to go to a higher level or be a better person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, as you were ending up with me just saying, I thought about being on spiritual guard. It's like picture a military's soldier standing guard on something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there to protect. He's there to assure that things are under control, that things are safe and secure. He's got a weapon, and the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not a gun, but it's a sword. And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul uses war garb or attire to express our journey. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We can't let folk get in our heart. Amen. We can't let them, especially in a negative way, we can't let things rule our heart that are ungodly.
Yeah.
Amen. We've got the sword of the spirit. Sometimes you got to fight back. But your weapon can't be nothing. It can't be, I'm going to cuss them out like I used to back in the day before God delivered me. We don't go that route. But unfortunately, some of us have learned that old man, he's still hanging around. Amen. Some of us have learned that Adam ain't too far away. Amen. We've heard it. We've been saved long enough to know it. People have given us a testimony. So we got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet are made for walking, and sometimes you got to walk away. Amen. A helmet of salvation to protect your head so you can think right.
Got to walk away to keep the peace.
Amen. And then to keep them taking a piece of them. Amen. Sometimes that happens.
Or Medea would say she got her piece in her purse.
Amen. And so as believers, we understand, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, the breastplate was designed to protect thee from the waist to the shoulder part. The heart's behind there. The heart has to be protected at all times. Amen. And I think that a true soldier, as we are, you are always on duty. You see, that was the thing that the apostle was trying to get us to embrace, is that you are attired that way because you are always on guard. You're always on duty because the enemy doesn't take a break. Amen. And the God that keeps us, the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel, He doesn't sleep or slumber. God does not sleep on his people.
Well, I'm telling you, it is a truth for me, because when I worked in this facility with close to 1,000 people, I had this mindset, I could do this spiritual walk. I could be nice to the person in the grocery store or the gas station attendant. You remember we, once upon a time we had those. Or I could be...
You're aging yourself now.
I could be a model employee. But when I came home, or when I went to church or socialized with other believers, I wanted to let my hair down. I really wanted to take a deep breath and not be on guard. But boy, I have found out that is not the case. Because if the enemy has got plans for you, he will get in the people in your home. He will get into the person closest to you. He will get into the people at the church. He will try you. So that armor and its necessity to always be available to us, as the scriptures say, be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy.
Amen. And it's a full-time job. We don't sleep. Spiritually, there's no place for sleeping spiritually. Amen. The scriptures say, he that keeps Israel doesn't sleep or slumber. Amen. We're always on guard. We go to bed at night and we praying that we can that the Lord by the power of the Spirit will keep our minds, amen, in peace. Yeah. He that keepeth Israel sleeps or slumbers, and he'll keep our minds in perfect peace. We are in warfare 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 on the leap year. Amen. It is never a time when we're not spiritually vulnerable, but also spiritually aware.
Yes.
We're vulnerable if we're not aware.
Yes. And that's a part of that spiritual sowing, giving ourselves over to have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Giving ourselves to, as you say, guarding your heart and the wonderful gift of peace that Christ paid for at Calvary, we must war for it.
Amen.
We have to contend for our faith.
Yes.
We have to be on guard, as you said.
Amen.
I touched on the subject of the love of God. And I like to parallel those who are parents. We love our children.
Amen.
I mean, for some, they didn't even have a concept of love until they had their own kids.
Amen.
And paralleling God's love in the representation of human love, when we have children, they're with love, we shape and make and mold them,
Amen.
Prepare them for when we will not be there to protect them, or we will not be there at certain points and times in their lives.
Amen.
And I just imagine in my relationship with God, he knows what my tomorrows look like. He knows what
yes.
tomorrow holds. So in my sowing, spiritual sowing, it is me in partnership with God in preparation for his purpose for my life.
Amen. And you know, that's the one thing, Sister Sybil, I think that the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, Eli, whatever name you want to call him, works full time is to cause us to lose focus and awareness upon the uniqueness of that relationship that we have. You can talk to, and I have over the years, brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen into various dilemmas of sin, and they were what we called in the church backsliders, and we call church folks backsliders when they don't come to church 2 Sundays. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, people do that. That's unfortunate, and it's not true. But what we have done is that we have alienated brothers and sisters because of those type of distinctions. We forget that they are in a warfare and they're in a struggle, and they need support. They need help. They need our prayer. They need a hug. Amen. But what we have done in many cases, and those who are listening can know that I'm telling the truth, if you have vast experience, we vilify brothers and sisters when they fall. Instead of lifting them up and encouraging them and praying for them and hugging them and kissing them and saying, I got you, I'm praying for you, God is with you, we vilify. I've seen it happen from pulpits. Ministry people stand up and call out people's names because they're not there and they've fallen into a dilemma of sin. And what are you saying? When you do that, you're opening them up to the vilification and the ostracization of people who are not spiritual, who will take the position of leadership and say, so-and-so is not right. And they'll tell you, don't associate with them. I've seen this with my own eyes. Don't associate with a certain brother or sister. Don't have any dealings with them. And it was simply because they just stopped coming to church. They weren't robbers. They weren't murderers. They weren't thieves. They weren't burglars. They were just people who, if you miss three Sundays, you are officially or unofficially, I'll use the word unofficially, use a backslider.
Well, being on the subject of backslider, I want to open the doors or open the minds of the callers, especially those who have not yet made that decision, those who maybe standing on the outside looking in the window, not totally sold out on the idea that Jesus is Lord. So I want to make an opportunity or make an invitation to those individuals who questions or yet haven't made that decision to say, okay, I surrender. I am going to follow the Lord. I am going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. It is so many case scenarios and so many times that people don't get another opportunity. They are presented with the open door and they don't get another opportunity. Sometimes people, what's the scripture? They have a retrograde mind where they had an opportunity. God was there with open arms, but they didn't take the opportunity and lost the ability to get that choice again. For some, they live in sin for whatever measure of time God gives, and some, the next day they leave here. So it's always, always a major decision, because you don't want to run and jump into anything. It is the first day of the rest of your eternal life, but it is the best choice ever to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen. You know, it's just, he's a wonderful, he's a master Savior, he's our deliverer, our peace, our joy, and our righteousness. And I'm thankful for God that I've been saved now personally right at 40 years. I got saved when I was 25 years old. And someone came to me and said to me, Jesus wants you. You've been running. And I was. I was avoiding anything that had to do with God. But I went to the church. I got baptized and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And a couple of years later, I was involved in doing ministry, and the rest is history. God didn't browbeat me and intimidate me. I came out of the world. I was one of them people that loved having a good time. I got high. amen, and I ran the streets, and I did what I did. But thanks be to God, he's a way maker and a keeper and a provider. I've been, as I said, been saved now about right at 40 years, and I'm thankful to God for giving me the heart to make the decision. We don't come to Christ on our own.
Yeah.
We don't decide to come. He's the one that brings us in. Yeah. He's the one that deals with our heart in a loving way to make us know that we can come to him. And he turns no one away. And so we're just grateful to God for the fact that we know that God is love.
Yeah.
Amen. Regardless of what we've been taught theologically. Some people make God an ogre that sits in the heavens and all he wants to do is destroy and send people to hell. Amen. God is love. Amen. And that's exactly what he's extending to us, the human family.
And that love that cannot be measured, that it fails with language trying to describe that love.
Amen.
Compared to nothing or nothing. Well, I just appreciate you, Elder Peoples. This has been an awesome show, sowing and reaping, spiritual sowing. Before this is all over, we're going to get into spiritual reaping. We've been talking a lot about sowing. We're going to dive in and dig further into what does it mean to spiritually reap. And that'll be next show. I want to thank all of my callers. I want to thank all my listeners. It's a request been made that I take calls during the show, and I hope to do that before this is all over. And so if you have some questions, if you have some comments you would like to make, feel free to email me at Sybil Peoples, and that's S-I-B-Y-L, and the last name is Peoples, P-E-E-P-L-E-S, and that is at yahoo.com. Elder Peoples is founder of Mending God's People's Ministry. As we understand and recognize, when an individual has a hurt and the hurt comes from church, there needs to be a healing place for those who generally would go to the church for healing, but that's where the injury took place. The ministry Mending God's People is just that. It exists to help individuals who have church hurt. So if you have a comment or a question, feel free to send an email. You can even dial the phone, 219-801-5804. You can send a message with your question. Feel free. We would love to interact. We would love to address your comments. Just dig further into it all. Elder Peoples, that you have any closing remarks?
So I think you've covered everything. We're just grateful to God for another opportunity to share in the word of the Lord. We pray and hope that people have been blessed, that tuned in. We could always use your prayers and your encouragement and your support, and just keep us, you know, in your prayers, because we are living in perilous times. We're living in times where people are desperate. They are isolated. They are hurting. They don't know where to turn. But Jesus is always there. Jesus is standing with his arms open. And he says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's what humanity needs today. We need rest. We need not the physical rest of 8 hours of sleep, although we could use that for our physical body, but we need the spiritual rest of our soul. We need the rest that when we wake up in the morning, we feel that we have been revived in the Lord and that we have a great hope and optimism and anticipation of the great things of that particular day, and that God is with me, amen, and that he's walking with me and he's talking with me. Human beings were not designed to go through this journey without God. Amen. It was never intended for a man or a woman, a boy or a girl to have a barrier between their relationship with the Creator. Unfortunately, that took place because of Adamic failure. Amen. The fall in the garden. Amen. Separated humanity. But God, as wise as he is and all-knowing, he decided before the foundation of the world that the Lamb would be slain. Before Adam had sold us out in the Garden of Eden, God had already had an eternal plan, amen, to redeem humanity back unto himself. But it was going to take a little time, amen, for God to robe himself in humanity and come down through those generations and be born into our family, which would have been the only righteous way to redeem us, was that if by man failure existed, it would be by a man that failure would be redeemed. Amen.
So what you're saying is we are made for God.
Amen. We are designed for him. We are made for him. Amen. And we thank God that for those of us that know him, we understand the importance of it, and we're willing to share, amen, what God has done and what he's going to do, amen, for all humanity that comes unto him.
Amen. Comes unto him as we open the doors or place the invitation for individuals to make that solid choice to turn and call on the Lord. And like you say, we're living in such tough times, but we are not out here by ourselves.
Amen.
We are not without hope.
Amen.
And that's the beauty of choosing to make Jesus your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Is to be able to know that no matter what diagnosis you get, no matter what judgment from a judge or sentence, no matter what everyone around you that may have abandoned you or disowned you, we still are with hope.
Amen.
Because God can change people. He can change minds. You know, I love the scripture, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and he turns it whatsoever he will. There's so many wonderful testimonies of people being brought back from the dead or healed without even 1% and 2% survival.
Yes.
Diagnosis with marriages being put back together, children returning home. It is endless testimonies of nothing is impossible with God.
Yes.
So I'm going to say my goodbyes. I'm going to close with a very short prayer. And I pray that this has been a blessing. Please feel free to reach out to us either through the phone or email. We would love to hear from you. Please tune in for the fourth Friday. I said that last time. The fourth Saturday of each month. And we would, again, love for you to invite others. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you and thank you for every listener, oh God. We thank you for your healing presence. We thank you for your word going forth. We thank you, oh God, that you would bless each listener, that they would have a heart to go deeper in you, Lord, to surrender to another level, as we've been talking about sowing and reaping, spiritual reaping. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Than the thing, oh, that could tell.